This podcast is made possible by thousands of dedicated listeners just like you. Be a part of this powerful three-decade legacy of evangelization by visiting materdeiradio.com or downloading the Hail Mary media app. And thank you for joining us on the bridge between your faith and everyday life.
Bringing you a common sense and fresh perspective to creating a just society. This is Common Sense on Social Justice. You'll get equipped with the tools you need to carry out social justice right where you are. Now, here's the host of Common Sense on Social Justice, Michael Davis.
Welcome back in our journey to create a just society right where we are. Today is going to be a little bit different. I'm going to tell stories today. Today is, I guess, the storytelling hour. Many cultures have dispensed information through the telling of stories. The Old Testament of the Bible, for example, is not an instructional manual with a list to memorize, such as St. Paul likes to use a lot of lists, but it's a series of stories told to explain the work of God in history and thus to learn and pass on truth. Now, in the West, we are very linear in our thinking, and so we are given more to data than to stories, which does make things and the passing of information clear and efficient, but many cultures value the depth and richness of stories over the bland use of data. Today, I want to tell two stories to help you understand what social justice looks like at the local level. I'm going to, first of all, tell a story from my own experience. Now, I struggle to tell stories of how I live out social justice due to God wanting to work in and through me in the silence of ordinary moments. I struggle to share what I do as I prefer to keep it between me and God. And I would have 1,000 stories to share if I were to share them all. However, today I am going to share a story of what I have done in the hopes of inspiring you and maybe expanding your vision of what can happen. And then later in this episode, I'm going to share someone else's story. So you're going to get two stories out of me today, and I hope you enjoy them. 15 years ago, I met a man at a community center in one of Portland's suburbs. At that time, I was not Catholic, and I had a nonprofit at the time that sought to meet people in the homeless camps and on the streets and love them right where they were and to journey with them with no particular agenda or goal in mind, rather, but to just share and walk through them with the journey that God had them on and to help them discern that journey as well. And I could share 1,000 stories from those days. So one day I was at a particular community center and this man walked up to me and asked if I was Pastor Mike. Now, this is the name that people on the streets called me. To this day, I have people, including Catholics, that call me Pastor Mike. It's just a name that won't ever go away for me. A priest I used to know did tell me, well, Michael, you are a pastor to the poor, so go for it. Anyway, the man and I began talking, and he shared how he had an apartment with government help, but he struggled deeply with mental health issues. I didn't realize it at the time, but I was beginning a long journey to grow in and understand the nature of love. I ended up journeying with him for 15 years. Over those years, he would call me 2 or 3 times a week, needing prayer as he was having a moment of severe mental health breakdown. And often this became repetitive, and I would pray and encourage him each time as if it were the first time. And sometimes I have to admit that I would have to take a deep breath, say, I got to be present with him, even though I've been through this routine with him before. God was teaching me gentleness and patience in this. Time and again, he would call or we would meet and I would shepherd him gently. The prophets, in describing the future Messiah, Jesus, said that he would not bruise a broken reed. When it comes to the mentally ill, we must be very careful to not injure what is already injured. Over the years, it became difficult to remain patient and to walk with my brother through the ordinary, repetitive task of listening, prayer, encouraging. However, he grew deeper in his faith, and at the time, I didn't realize that I, too, was growing deeper in my faith. We were making each other saints. Although he struggled so deeply mentally, he did cling to his faith in Christ. A couple months ago, this friend was diagnosed with ALS, commonly known as Lou Gehrig's disease, and he declined rapidly. I would visit him weekly in the nursing home, and towards the end, I would have to feed him his dinner due to his arms no longer working. Last Saturday, I visited him. I fed him dinner, I joked with him, and he had still had the ability to laugh slightly. Something happened while I was feeding him last Saturday. I suddenly had a vision of both St. Thérèse Lisieux and Mother Teresa. Remembering the teachings of St. Thérèse Lisieux, I, with God's grace, did the task of feeding him with great love. Each time I placed the food in his mouth, I whispered, "I love you, Jesus." Now, with Mother Teresa, I remembered that I was feeding hungry Jesus, that Jesus was disguising himself in the face of my brother. And with each sip of water he took, I remembered that I was quenching the thirst of Jesus and my brother. My brother said to me, not my biological brother, but this brother, this friend, said to me, "Thank you for loving me all these years." And that really stuck to me. I thought back and I thought, oh, this is what God was doing through me, was teaching me to love faithfully through the years. And then that was Saturday. Monday morning, I got the message from a sister that he had passed away that morning. And so this whole week, I've been reflecting on the nature of love and how this is what it looks like to create a just society where we are. I thought, you know, I've said hundreds of times at this point, this podcast, create a just society right where we are. That's the call line of this podcast. But it hit me as he said, "Thank you for loving me all these years." And as I got the text from his sister of his passing, it hit me. It's like, oh, feeding my friend because they can't feed themselves, and faithfully visiting and faithfully listening, faithfully praying and reminding him of God's goodness to us, that's what it means to create a just society right where we are. What I was doing, I didn't realize it, but what I was doing is I was stopping the maddening cycle of injustice in the world, and I was creating a new way in the world of justice and mercy towards my brother. Now, it may have only been me and one other person. I only affected this one person, but I stopped in this space in the world the cycle of insanity, the cycle of violence, and create a cycle of love. And I want that to be an encouragement to you as a listener. It may not be big things you're doing. It may be some little work of mercy that you're doing, but what you're doing in that little work of mercy is you are stopping the maddening wheel of injustice in the world, and you're creating a cycle of love in that little space. But think about it. If a million people in the world take their little space and create a cycle of love in it, then it actually becomes a big movement. And it becomes a very large way of turning the tide in this world away from violence, destruction, hatred, and division. And we're turning the tide and creating for future generations. And they'll take what we've done, pick up from there, and just keep growing the movement of love and peace and justice. So let that be an encouragement to you. I want to tell another story. I'm, again, not going to name names, but this is a dear friend of mine who has taught me and shown me what it looks like to create a just society right where you are with what you have to work with. And I asked them, can I please share your story on the podcast? And he said, yeah, go for it. Just don't name my name, and I'm not going to do that. But my friend, if anyone I've ever met is doing the work of justice and mercy right where they're at with what they've been given to work with, it's this friend of mine. He runs a care home for men, some young, some middle-aged, some old, but for men who cannot take care of themselves. And for whatever reasons, could be through accidents that's happened, just could be through degenerative diseases, but for whatever reason, they cannot live by themselves, they cannot take care of themselves, so they live at his home, and he takes care of their daily needs. And he does it with joy. That's the thing, that when I see what he does on a daily basis, I'm like, how does he have such incredible joy in that? Because he literally has to clean people up in ways I would not want to clean people up. He has to feed grown men, and he's been doing this for decades at this point. And he has to he just has to take care of the daily routine tasks, dispensing medications properly, counting out medications, all these things. And he does it with such an amazing joy. And so I was at his house a few weeks ago, and there were the guys, and there was him, and there was me, and we were jamming on guitars too, by the way, because he has a studio where he records music, and that's one of his side gigs. But we were jamming on some guitars and just, you know, having some fun together. But as he was preparing dinner and medications in the kitchen, I said, you know, tell me what's going on. I mean, like, you absolutely do this with the greatest joy I've ever seen. And he says, look, and it blew me away. He said, when I'm cleaning up somebody who, you know, messed themselves, I have great joy in that because it's what I'm called to do. I'm living in obedience, and there is joy in obedience. And I thought, wow, you know, that just challenges me to the core of my being. And with a huge smile on his face, he says, you know what's happening here? And I said, what? And he said, me and the guys, we're just kind of growing old together. To him, it was like a marriage, you know, and he is married, has a fine wife. But he said, me and the guys, we're just kind of growing old together. And so this is where God's got me. And I thought, well, there you go. There's creating a just society right where you are. God's got me right here. And he said, it's like he has their own little monastic community. Let me talk a minute in the middle of the story about social justice and monastic life. Monastic commitment is social justice right where we are. My spiritual director is a monk, at a monastery. And when I go there to meet with him, I'm challenged by the daily rhythms of this monastic community. Daily rhythms of labor, manual labor, of stopping every 3 hours to pray, of welcoming the stranger, because many people visit this monastery and have retreats there. And before I leave, each time I meet with my spiritual director, he always says, "Michael, don't forget to pray for me and the monks, because we need to learn how to love each other." I thought, wow, that's great humility, but also it's that social justice is happening in their own way. They're welcoming the stranger with joy. They're feeding the stranger. They're figuring out how to forgive each other. And when you live in close community, such as the monks do, you have to do a whole lot of forgiving each other on a daily basis, because I'm sure that at times they get on each other's nerves. When you get close enough to people like that, that happens in human nature. But my friend, back to my friend with the care home, he says, "We're aging together, and it's like we have our own little monastic community. They have their daily rhythms. He's learning to love them." And, you know, as I get to know the ones in the care home and hang out with them, talk to them, I realize it's tough to do this for days, let alone weeks, let alone months, let alone years, let alone decades, to just daily go through the routines. Now, my last episode was about the hiddenness of social justice. Well, look at the routines, the hiddenness of this, that it's just social justice is not something on the internet, okay? It's not something on the news. It's that. It's my friend's daily little routines. Social justice comes in the form of cleaning up someone who can't clean up after themselves. It's about placing food in someone's mouth. It's about preparing a meal. It's about counting medication. It's about time spent together, just hanging out and talking. It's not that complicated. And maybe that's the problem. Maybe social justice is so simple and so routine that we don't want to do it, because it's got to be fun if we're going to do it. And maybe protests in the streets are fun. That's why we do them. Maybe making a lot of noise on the camera is a lot of fun, so that's why we do it. But daily rhythms aren't fun. They're necessary, and they're required. For example, going into our fourth year, we're well into our fourth year in this podcast. Believe me, at this point, the honeymoon's over, okay? It's about showing up. It's about doing it. And I do a lot of preparation before these podcasts. It's about just opening up the computer and researching. It's about reading books. It's about trying to figure out how to put it all together. It's about turning on a microphone and just talk. You know, it becomes ordinary. And that is good. That's a good thing. It's a good thing for it to become ordinary, because that's where God exists. God lives in the ordinary. God doesn't live in the flares. He doesn't live in the fireworks. He doesn't live at the red carpet. God lives in the ordinary. And if, you know, people like, "I want to find God." Well, first of all, as my spiritual director reminds me, God doesn't need to be found. God isn't lost. We are. And so in the same way, you want to find God, it's in the ordinary. It's in cleaning up after someone. It's in feeding someone. And I don't mean dropping off a sack lunch to a homeless person. I'm talking about feeding them. I'm talking about getting up close and personal. I'm talking about giving them a full-on hug so that you get a little dirty and smelly yourself. Yeah. It's like I've heard that a good shepherd is so close to the sheep that he ends up smelling like the sheep. And that's the way it is with us. We should be so up close and personal with the people that God has called us to serve and to love, we end up smelling like them. And that's what my friend is doing. Daily rhythms in the care home. He's creating a just society right where he is. He's stopping the maddening will of injustice and hate and division, and he's creating a new cycle of love and mercy. It's not just him. It's a million other people. I hear it in the emails you send me. I hear it, and there's a movement happening, but you may not see it because it's just your little piece, and I've got my little piece here at the studio, and then there's that person with their little piece. It's all happening. By the way, I don't just do this podcast. I'm out in the streets, and I'm doing it too, myself, works of mercy. But I just wanted to share these stories with you today to encourage you that it's happening. People are doing it. I wanted to give you some real-life examples. You want to share your story? Please email us, and you'll hear the email address at the end today. So there you have it. The way to a just world is through you and I using the place we have been placed in, using the talents that we've been given, and loving the people that are right in front of us. We will see a just world and realize a just society if we love and serve right where we are.
You've been listening to Common Sense on Social Justice with your host, Michael Davis. A common sense and fresh perspective to creating justice where you are. Share your comments and questions with Michael by emailing sjcommonsense@gmail.com. That's sjcommonsense@gmail.com.
If you enjoyed this podcast, please consider sharing it with a friend. You can support this vital mission of evangelization through materdayradio.com or the Hail Mary Media app. And thank you for helping us lead souls to Jesus through the Blessed Virgin Mary.